Okay, we're up to Perek Ches. Yesterday we went over most of the names until Avi Gidoin. We are really up to Pasek Choftes. V'Givon Yashu Avi Gidoin. This is what we're up to. Okay, we're up to Perek Ches, Pasek Choftes. Before we go further, there are a few loose ends that we have to fill in. Okay, if we look at the chart from yesterday, we went to all the children of Binyamin. And we mentioned there's a person by the name of Shacharayim. After we mentioned Bela, who's also known as Ichud, we learned about this person called Shacharayim. Who is Shacharayim? So there's a Rashi. Rashi says, "Hu hoy echad min ha-goylim." He was one of the people that went into exile. It seems, now it's not clear exactly what point we are referring to. We went to exile during the time of Mitzrayim, that he left Egypt to go somewhere else, or this refers to when they were already living in Eretz Yisrael, and he was exiled because there was some war with Gaz or with some other nation. I don't know what it means exactly, but Rashi says that he was one of the children of Binyamin, one of the descendants, not necessarily a child, maybe a child, I don't know. And after he came back, they sent him min hagolus. So that seems to me that when he returned from Golus, he had all of these children. Okay, that's the Rashi. Then we have Chushim, the Esbeira, Noshav, Kacha, Yushmo, Sem, Shal, Noshav, Rashi. Next Rashi, his wives. We learned yesterday he had three wives. Shacharayim was married to three women, Shulchu, Oysam, Chushim, and Beira. And then there's mention of a fourth wife called Chodosh. And Chodosh, we learned simply, is the name of Shulchu Oysam. Next Rashi, Umichushim Hoylid. From Chushim, the second wife, she gave birth to two sons. On the chart you see Avituv and El Poal. Zos Chushim Yishtoy Shehizkiu Lamal Lefishiv Sigavu B'Chodosh Yishtoy. The reason why we're going to this Rashi, so telling us to text the past, the reason why we're going back to Chushim, because we were mafsik. We mentioned there were three wives, Shulchu Oysam, Chushim Be'era. Then we discussed the children that were born from Shulchu Oysam, otherwise known as Chodosh.
Chodesh,
thank you. There were seven children mentioned. Now we return to Chushim. Okay. Pasuk Yudal, let's go through some of these Rashis. The Echya Yishoshak and his brother Shoshak. You look on the chart, you go all the way down, you'll see there's a person, his brother Shoshak, where is it on the chart? It's the second one after Achya. El Poal had five children. Biro'ah was number four, and he had a whole collection, and number two was Shoshak. Kol El B'nei El Poal. So I mentioned before, everyone, it was all these all the children of Poal, in Yinacher, V'Iker, Min Echav Shoshak. Okay, so he's just coming to explain who are all these people, Achyoy, Shoshak, Yerimos. The way I have presented it on this handout is they're all children of Berea. But that's only true in Rashi's second interpretation. In Rashi's first interpretation, all of those children, Achyoy, Shoshak, Yerimos, Zevadya, Ored, Eder, Michoel, Yishbe, Yochai, I'm probably not pronouncing half those correctly, I don't have the Nekudas in front of me, are all children of El Poal, which means El Poal had a lot of children, quite a number of children. But that's how Rashi learns in his first interpretation, Kol Ela B'nei El Poal, Inyan Acher, the Ikar. Another interpretation, which is the correct, and the most important, the correct one, Min Echav Shashak, V'ad Yochai, Kol Ela B'nei Biriyah. Those are all children of Biriyah. Umizvadya v'yad Yovav, from Zvadya until Yovav, so the first three were children of Briah, but Zvadya until Yovav. Where is Yovav? I'm not even sure. Okay, those are the other on the left side, El Poal has two branches. Umidvaya kol ela b'nei El Poal. Those were another set of children from El Poal. And all those from Yishba all the way until Umin V'Yakim. Yakim is, you see there on the extreme right, Yakim all the way down to Shemaras. So basically my presentation in this handout follows Rashi's second interpretation. And what he's pointing out is what's unusual about this interpretation is because until now in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, the Seder has always been to list the father, then the son, then the neck, then the grandson, then the great grandson, and so on and so forth. Here in this list, we're in this order, the way the Pesukim are writing, there's a change in style. We're presenting a long list of names, and then we connect them upwards to a person. And that's how Rashi presents it, and that's how I show it to you here on this handout. Okay, now let's discuss a few midrashim. First midrash let's discuss is Shacharayim. Okay, so Shacharayim here we mention, according to Rashi, is one of Binyamin's sons or descendants. And from him came this large, large family that we see in front of us. So according to the Rus Rabbah, here Rabbi Michal mentioned this yesterday. Rabbi Michal is our in-house expert on Medrash Rus. He wrote the book. We have here a mention to Elio. We have a mention let me read it for you word for word. Eliyahu Zichroinu Levracha Shal Es Rebbe Nehorai. Elio Hanavi asked Rebbe Nehorai, he asked him, Ma din d'chsev, what is the meaning of this pasuk, v'shacharayim hoylid b'steimov? What is the deeper meaning of this pasuk, that Shacharayim gave birth to these two children in steimov? Go back to the pasuk, look at the pasuk clearly, back, pasuk ches, v'shacharayim hoylid b'steimov, min shilchu oysam, from the following three wives, and from Chushim, v'yes ba'aro noshav. So in Pasuk Ches, it tells us that there was a man, Shacharayim, he had three wives. Number one was Shulchoy, so number two was Chushim, number three was Ba'ara. And then Pasuk Ches tells us about a fourth wife called Chodesh, Bayodin Chodesh Ishta, which we interpreted to mean that it was really Chodesh, the same as wife number one, Shulchoy Sam, as then it goes on to give a long list of names. So the Medrash says, Amalei, so Rebbe Nehorai told Eliyahu HaNavi that Shacharayim is a kinui for Amalei, Shacharayim u kinui ligodol. So the word shach, I don't know the deeper meaning of the word, but shacharayim means greatness.
It means a great man.
Why does it mean great?
An elder statement.
Elder statement. Why? Why does it go here?
Yeah. I'll say refer to a senior elder as a shachvar.
A shachvar. Okay, so it's a word that we're not familiar with.
Right.
A shachvar. There's a word in Aramaic. Is it Aramaic or is it Hebrew?
Okay. What,
probably
because, it's Hebrew. Because he was born in the early morning in the shachar of his father's years.
Ah, okay. So they was in the early years of his father. Okay, so shachar means the dawn. Okay, all right. Now there's another interpretation, which is more easy for us to understand. Shacharayim refers to Boaz. Shacharayim is Boaz, and Boaz is. Okay, we're going to go through them. We'll go through all them. But why is Boaz called Shacharayim? Meshuchar min huavonos. Shacharayim comes from the word freedom. Shin ches reish shuchar. Shuchar. He's free. He's free from sin. Boaz was a tzaddik yisod olam.
So Shacharayim was a son.
No. So that's the difficulty which requires drush to explain. Boaz was from Sheva Yehuda.
Right.
Boaz. What is Sheva Yehuda doing here in Shevet Binyamin?
Maybe his mother. They think.
Okay, so we'll discuss it briefly, but this is a typical in Divrei Hayom where we take psukim, out of context, in the middle of a different shevet, even though we're dealing with shevet Binyamin, and we're trying to find an allusion here to Boaz the Maisa, Boaz marrying Rus HaMoavia. Now the Medrash goes on. This is a compilation of different midrashim. They're all not part of the same midrash, but each little piece adds some bayer to the pasuk. Next, Hoylid b'stei Moav. Who is the stei Moav? This refers to Rus. Rus HaMoavia Shehoisa, she came from, her origins were from the field of Moav. Min Shilchu Oysam. What?
That's the trigger.
Okay, fine, okay. Next, Shilchu Osam, that simply means the name of the wife. His wife had a very unusual name, Shilchu Osam. This refers to Boaz. Boaz was from Shevet Yehuda. Why is Shevet Yehuda called Shilchu Osam? Because the Yaakov sent, yes, Yehuda, Sholach Lefanov Goshna, Lahoyos Lefana. Yaakov sent Yehuda to Goshen to go and set up a yeshiva. Hayim Sheva Yehuda Shnemar, Ves Yehuda Sholach Lefanov. He sent him forward. Another interpretation that no, it's referring to Shevet Binyamin. Now, again, I don't know what it means. How could it possibly? Now, that would fit very well into the context because we're dealing here with Shevet Binyamin, but I don't know exactly who came from Shevet Binyamin, maybe a mother. And where do we find the word Shilcho or some in reference to Binyamin? Pilegesh Begiva. Vayishluchu Shifte Yisrael Anoshim B'chol Shifte Binyamin. They sent men, they Klal Yisrael, they sent people to go to war against Shevet Binyamin. So we find the similar expression of Vayishluchu against them, against Shevet Binyamin. So it refers here to some type of connection. The story of Rus HaMoaviah was somehow connected to Shevet Binyamin, which is a very big mystery, because as far as we know, there is no real obvious connection to connect the story of Rus and Boaz to Shevet Binyamin. Okay, let's go further. Chushim, Sufimo Medrashim, another Medrash. Chushim, V'yesbar Nashav, V'yesh Adam, it says here that he gave birth, he took the pasuk literally, that he gave birth to these women. It says, V'shacharayim holid, this man by Shacharayim, he gave birth in Stei Moav to three women. Now that's not grammatically correct. We translated it means that Shacharayim had children through these three women. But that's not literally what it says in the pasuk. So the Medrash asked the question, what does it mean? Ella. So we want to make the drasha. Chushim is not to be interpreted as a name, but rather as an expression. He was chosh. Chosh means he was swift. Kinomer, like a leopard. A leopard is a very quick to do what? Ba'ara is not the name of a woman, but rather is a be'er to explore the depth of the Torah. Ube'er es halacha, to explain the halacha. Amoni v'loy amonis, moyavi v'loy moyavis, to permit rules to come into Klal Yisrael. There's a stigma against marrying a woman from the nation of Moab because not everyone accepted at that point in time the drasha that you're allowed to marry the women, not the men. And it's not the derech of an isha to come out b'lechem v'mayim. Okay, next, passing one more medrash. Vayom in chodesh, chodesh isha. Chodesh comes from renewal. He was mechadesh in new halacha. Lo hayotzech el vayolad min bari ishtoi. Why is she called chodesh? The answer is biyamav in his day nischatsha halacha amoni v'loy amonis moyav v'loy moyavis, and that's why she was permitted. So let's take the entire thing all together outside. Let's go back to the pasuk pasuches, and now let's read all the midrashim into the pasuk. Shacharayim hoylid b'stei moav min shulchay oisam chushim yesbar nashav ayolid min chodesh ishto. So what does that mean? Shacharayim is Boaz. He was meshuchar from avon. He was free from sin, and he was a great man. And this word Shacharayim is related to some word that we're not familiar with, which means greatness. Hoylid b'stei moav. He went and he married. Hoylid, I'm not exactly sure how the Medrash interprets with hoylid, but it means he went and he married a woman that came from the field of Moav, referring to Rus HaMoaviah. Min shulchu oisam, and who was Boaz? Don't be misled with the fact that we are discussing Shevet Binyamin. He was really from Shevet Yehuda, the Shevet that Yaakov sent in front of him to Mitzrayim to set up a yeshiva. Or, somehow, that Boaz was also a descendant from another branch of his family from Shevet Binyamin. Okay, from the mother's side, from somewhere along the line. Chushim, he was very quick, Boaz, very quick to delve into the halacha, the es ba'ara, ba'ara lashon of be'er. You could interchange the ayin with the aleph, be'er, to explain, to analyze the Torah, and to reach the conclusion that moyavi v'loy moyavis. And that way he was permitted to marry this woman that came from Moav. Vayoled min chodesh ishto, and by marrying her he was mechadesh halacha, chodesh, a new halacha, it was established in his days, mayavi v'loy mayavis. Now, the big question is, why would this appear in the Shevet of Binyamin, not in the Shevet of Yehuda? This whole beautiful medrash, this whole idea to find the secret to Boaz and Rus HaMoaviah and this halacha that was established in their day. So in the back of the art school Divrei Hayamim by Rabbi Eisenman, he has a drush. His drush focuses on the essence of Binyamin. Binyamin was a Ze'ev Yitraf, Choyf V'lov Kol Hayom, Binyamin had a yearning, was never satisfied with spirituality. He always wanted more. He wanted to expand his boundaries. We find this in the Gemara in a few places, in Masechet Megillah, and it's another place where Binyamin, the Beis Hamikdash, was the as most of the Azara, which included the Heichel, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Mizbech, was built on the portion of Binyamin. But there was a strip of land which was the Chelik of Yehuda. And Binyamin had great tzar. He very much wanted that his boundary should expand and swallow up the area that was set aside for Yehuda. Choyfeif Olof Kol Hayom, he wanted very much to, but Hashem did not give it to him. The Mizbech was built on his portion, but in reward for the yearning to expand his boundaries, he was given an extra dosage of Hashroas Hashchina. I'm not exactly sure what that means. But whatever. But we do learn from this Gemara that Binyamin had a yearning to expand his boundaries. Moav is not part of Klal Yisrael. Yet, in Moav, now this is a very dangerous thing to say in modern times, because in modern times we don't look for Gerim. We're not living in a generation of Tkufa where we anymore want to take into Klal Yisrael people Gerim. I mean, obviously, we don't seek Gerim. If they come, Halavai. Klal Yisrael is an Or La'am, they're a magnet. And when someone comes to join Klal Yisrael, they're accepted with open arms. But we don't openly go out and send out missionaries to go and convert Gerim. That's not a Jewish thing. That's a Christian concept. That's not a Jewish concept to go seek out converts. However, in ancient times of the Shatan, it appears that it was. That there was such a concept. And who was the one that led the way? Binyamin. Binyamin wanted to expand his boundary. Binyamin had this yearning to bring into Klal Yisrael more and more and more. And we have a right to assume, this is what Eisenman says, that just like Binyamin, we find he had a desire to open up the boundary and bring more Kiddush into his boundary, he had a yearning in the Fashos, in souls, to bring more Neshamos into Klal Yisrael. Now, who followed in this path that was not from Shevet Binyamin? Boaz! Boaz was from Shevet Yehuda, and he had a yearning to bring Rus HaMoaviah from the nation of Moab into Klal Yisrael. He recognized in her sparks of holiness, sparks of greatness, which belonged in Klal Yisrael, and he went out to be Mechadesh Halakh. He went against the tide, he went against the common belief that anyone from Shevet Moav is out. Why are you looking to find Heterim to bring this woman into Klal Yisrael? It's not such a good idea. And everyone, the Ploni Almoni in Sefer Rus, said, I'm sorry, I don't want to be mashchis, my zera, my inheritance, by marrying a woman that's of questionable lineage. I don't know if this really is accepted in Halacha. And Boaz had a fight hard to convince the people, no, let's bring her into Klal Yisrael, she's acceptable. The average man that during the time would say, what do I need this for? Mali with Sarah Hazos, who needs this? But if you have a yearning within you to expand the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael and to bring into Klal Yisrael more sparks of Kedusha, you'll go against the current, you'll go against the belief of the day, and you'll go the extra mile to bring in more Kedusha. So Boaz borrowed from the Midos of Binyamin. And that's why Rabbi Eisenman says, that's why this remes to Boaz is found specifically in the Shevet of Binyamin. It's a very unique, this is a chiddush, it's a very big chiddush. It's all built, when it was going to move forward, it's all built on, it's a dangerous concept. I want to make it very clear, because today we're not in that, it's not proper today. Like we don't go out and tell people, come join us. Join us, become part of Klal Yisrael. That's not what we're trying to do. It's not. If they come, don't make any mistake. Ger comes, he's accepted with the greatest love. But we don't seek Gerim out there. But Binyamin did. And it was part of the divine plan that this should be, at least in ancient times. And it was the Midah Binyamin who led the way to do this. Yehuda borrowed from Binyamin's Midah to bring in Rus HaMoaviah It's not our topic now. He was a very old man. Okay, but so okay, yes. What was your question?
The third parrot talks about him doing goyel, right? Hula and Yibun and all that. So how does it, if she was really a Moabia and he's first bringing her in?
It's not necessarily Yibun. There's no mention of Yibun. There's no real mention of Yibun. To say that it was Yibun in Sefer Rus, that's a little bit of a stretch. That's a drush. It was not a halachic Yibun. It was not a halachic Yibum. It was more of a symbolic type of Yibum. Okay, there's no one. They takes off the shoe. The now that was not. That's people get confused. That's not Yibum in any shape or form. That was a kinyan. That was purely a transaction.
Hindu and the Gaya.
Redemption. Okay, there's a halacha that the closest relative has an obligation to redeem the assets of your fellow, the relative. Okay, not everything in Sefer Rus was strict halacha. There was Jewish custom, there was going lefnim mishur esadein, there was extra degree of chesed, and that's why on Shavuos we lay in Rus. One of the reasons, because we want to focus on chesed, we want to focus on kindness. Okay, but that's a different topic. The point here is we have here a reference to Boaz and Rus in Binyamin, and that requires Hezber, and this is a very novel approach to explain what it's doing here in this section. If you want to go learn that Boaz came from Shevet Binyamin, and Shulcha Isam is a reference to Shevet Binyamin, and even though Boaz explicitly came, we know from Sefer Rus came from Shevet Yehuda, alright, so you'll put it into Shevet Binyamin, you want to give the mother credit as well. Okay, I'm not going to argue, but that's not the simple approach, it's more, we have to focus on Yehuda. Okay, that's one medrash. Now let's go to another medrash, another very beautiful medrash. If you go look on the chart from yesterday, we have here Yeremos. Now I put it in parentheses, and it was not so neat. It says Yerocham. We have Yeremos is also known by the name of Yerocham, and he had a whole bunch of children: Shimshuri, Shecharia, Asalia, Yaarshaya, Elia, and Zichri. Okay, it's important to see that on the chart. This is Pasuk Chav Zayin in Perikhes, Viyaresha, the Elia, the Zichri, Bnei Yerocham. They are all children of Yerocham. And I told you yesterday, Yerocham. Who is Yerocham? There is no Yerocham. Go through all the names. We never had a Yerocham here in this entire parak. So the Mitzudos, I think it's the Mitzudos, says that Yerocham is, or not the Mitzudos, maybe it's the Gra. The Mitzudos just says that this person, Yerocham, must be one of the people listed before. He does not say who, but either the Gra or the Radak, I don't remember where I saw it, says that it refers to, here's another one more. It says that Yerocham refers to Yeremos. Okay, so that is a simple interpretation of the pasuk. Now the last three names are very interesting. Let me read you what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says, this is Shemos Rabbah. Standard Medrash. No exotic Medrashim today. Okay, Vinikru, the Gemara says, all of these names, the last three, on the extreme left of the handout from yesterday, Ya'areshia, the Elia, the Zichri, are really names of Eliyahu Hanavi. Now, right away, you're going to get very concerned. Eliyahu HaNavi, but wait a minute. Which Shevet did Eliyahu HaNavi come from? He came from God. Pashas is Giladi. He's a Giladi from God. Or he came from Don, as some say. Or he came from Yehuda. I don't remember the whole number of Shevet, but it was a Kohen, but it was a Shevet Levi. So what's going on? There are many.
The Gemara is all over the place.
There are many Shvatim that we find him coming from. I think the most prominent is Gilad, is God. Is God. But what's very bizarre is what in the world is Eliyahu HaNavi doing here in Shevet Binyamin? This Perek Ches. There's one thing you remember from Divrei Hayom. Remember that Perek Ches is all about Binyamin. That way you'll impress your friends. Oh, Binyamin, Divrei Hayom, Perek Ches, yeah, whole share of Binyamin. Don't get very scared of you. You know that Perek Ches is all about Shevet Binyamin. And they'll ask, really, Shevet Binyamin? So what is Eliyahu Navi doing there? What is the Medrash, the famous Medrash of Rus HaMovia doing in Perek Ches? So you'll have to explain to them. But we have over here a reference to Eliyahu Navi here in Perek Ches. Now, why are all of these three names a reference to Eliyahu Navi? So let me read you this very beautiful Medrash. Nikru lo Eliyahu Arba Shemos. The four names here, very typical of Divrei Hayamim, these four names, Ya'areshia, number one. Number two, Ve'Elia, that's easy. Elia is right to Eliyahu. Number three is Zichri. And number four, B'nei Yerocham. Yerocham is also his name. It's also, these are really four names that refer to Eliyahu Navi. Ve'Ya'areshia, Ve'Elia, Ve'Zichri, B'nei Yerocham. Lama Nikro Shmo Kain, Ela B'Shah, She'akadosh Baruch Hu Mevakesh. When Hashem wants to stir up the world, Rachmana Litzlan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring upon this world some type of disaster. Who knows what? Some type of tzara, laharish, to bring a roar, a confusion in the world, laharish oilamo. That's what the word Ya'areshia, the last two letters, cause Hashem's name. And Yud Ayin Reish Shin is Ya'aresh, to stir up. Ka, Hashem wants to do what happens? Eliyahu HaNavi goes before the Kisya Kavod. Then, Hu Eliyahu, which is Eliyah, Oymed, he goes, the next word, Zichri, he reminds Hashem of the Zuchusim of Klal Yisrael, Oymed Masker Zuchusavos. And then Hashem responds with the fourth word of Yerocham. Hashem shows compassion upon Klal Yisrael. So here's a very beautiful medrash, in the middle of nowhere, taking these four names of Yerocham, who was the son of Berah, who was the son of Elpal, who was the son of Chushim, who was the son of Shacharayim, who was the wife of Chushim, son of Binyamin. And all of a sudden we have this very nice drasha, Eliyahu HaNavi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to stir up the world, goes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reminds Hashem of our Zuchusim, and Hashem shows us compassion. Alright, why is this doing in Yemen? So Rabbi Eisman, I think he says a similar idea is, it's a desire to expand. Anytime we have something which is not natural, it's natural that if we are not deserving, there should be korban. You have to overcome. When you need to overcome an obstacle, that you're borrowing from the Midah of Binyamin. Binyamin is the Midah of expand, overcome, break out of your limitations, break out of your barriers. We're limited, there's a problem, we have to overcome the problem. This Midah is being borrowed from Binyamin. We find it by Boaz, we find it by Eliyahu, and that's why these two Midrashim appear here in this context. Okay, so this concludes everything we've learned on the chart from yesterday. Now let's go to the next chart. Let's at least run through the names, and we'll try to do a little bit more. We're up now to Pasik Chaf Tes. Pasik Chaf Tes, Uvigivon Yashvu Avigivon. Now, we do not know who this person is. We do not know, we do know who his name is. It's an imperic test. This entire section will be repeated with some slight variations, which we'll talk about at a later point in time. There's a long Rashi here that discusses why things are repeated multiple times in the three Sfarim, Ezra, Nehemiah, Divrei Hayamim. But here we have we'll focus on the list that we have in front of us here at the end of Perek Ches. There's a person whose name is Avi Givoyim. Okay, we don't know who he is exactly. He's a person. He's a descendant of Binyamin. He comes from one of the families. We cannot at this moment connect him to any branch on this tree. V'shem Ishto Macha, and his wife's name was Macha. Pasuk Lamed. Now we have a long list of his sons. Uvino HaBechor, his oldest son was Avdon. Number two, Vitzur is number two. Vikish is three. Next, Ubal is an also name of a person. And next comes Vinodov. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ugidor. Viachyo. Vo Zocher. Lamed Beis. U Miklos. Hoylid es Shima. Who's Miklos? So Miklos is also a son. Does not say explicitly that he is a son, but that's assumed from the context. That's what the Mitzudo says. He gave birth to Shima, and you see on this handout, Miklos leads to Shima. Viaf Hema. Neged Achayhem Yashub B'Yushalayim Im Achayhem. Everyone listed here, the descendants of Avi Givon, they also lived together with the brethren in Yerushalayim. We concluded yesterday that the entire family of Binyamin, they lived in Yerushalayim. So this branch of the family also lived together with them. The word Neged, the Mitzvah says, shall be interpreted as if it says Im, together. They lived neged, opposite, meaning together with their brethren in Yerushalayim. Imachem. One more time. Miklos holy this. Shema v'yaf hema. Neged. Achayhem. Yashuv Yerushalayim. Imachayhem. With their brethren. They lived in Yerushalayim with their brethren. So this expression is repeated twice. I don't know the significance of why it's repeated twice, but that's what it means. They lived together. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. We now go to another child of Avi Givon. His name was Ner. Okay, people have that name today. I know someone has the name Ner. You know, anyone know the name Ner?
No.
You never heard?
I had one at work, yeah.
I know someone has the name Ner. His name is Ner. You know someone?
Friend's.
His name is Ner. Nun Resh. Yeah, so it's a name. The Ner Hoylid Es Kish. Ner gave birth to Kish. The Kish Hoylid Es Shaul. The famous Shaul. Shaul and Kish. The famous, that's why we're coming to Miyachis. The famous Yonasan was the friend of David, David's best friend. Yes, Malki Shua. Look on the chart. There's a person. Malki Shua is also known as Ish Boishas, not Mithi Boishas. He ruled. In fact, he was the Melech after the death of Shaul. We'll eventually learn about that in Divayim as well. After the death of Shaul, his son ruled for a short period of time before David's name. David was accepted as king over the entire Klal Yisrael. So Ish Boishes is also known as Malki Shua. V'yes Avinadav, v'yes Esh Baal. So we have here four sons of Shaul. Now, Uven Yehoina's son, who was the son of Yehoina's son, was Meriv Baal, also known as Mifi Boishes, not Ish Boishes, but Mipi Boishes.
Both of them.
Mipi Boishes. Now, that's not to be confused, there was another Mipi Boishes, that was David's Rebbe. David had a teacher whose name was Mifi Boishes, that was not the son of Yoyin. It was a different Mipi Boishes. It appears it was a popular name at that time. Tachazal Darshan, that the reason why David's Rebbe was called Mipi Boishes was because that when David would say a Chiddush, the Rebbe would shoot him down and would say, that's nonsense what you're saying. And David would be filled with embarrassment. So the mouth of the Rebbe, brought upon David HaMelech embarrassment. But David steiked. David, he grew in learning because he went and he asked Klotz Kashas and he got the Musa from his Rebbe. David grew in learning. Chazal say, the only way to acquire Torah is to ask questions. And even though they may be foolish, the people will laugh at you, but it's a necessary step to achieve greatness. Next. Ben Yonah's son, Meriv Baal. Meriv Baal, Hoylid Es Micha. See on the chart, we're about to try to follow along. Gave birth to Micha. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Uvnei Micha. Who are Uvnei Micha? We have Pisoin, Vemelech, Visarea, Veachaz. What a name. Name is Melech. Call me king.
Now that's a common name.
Melech?
Yeah.
That's a common name.
Oh, Eli Melech.
Milech. I have an uncle.
Melech. I stand corrected. Pisoin Vamelech.
Melech. Somewhere down the line, it's Eli Melech.
Eli Melech. Milech.
Because it was Malka, and they didn't want to. Malka,
queen.
Boy was born, so
they could be. But we find here a biblical. We find the biblical source for the name Melech. Pisain v'melech v'sareya v'achaz. V'achaz. Now, he wasn't the king, obviously. This was not. That was a much later point in time. But just the names, obviously, the names are recycled. We find all names in Tanakh recycled. Pasuk Lamed Vav v'achaz hilas Yehoada. Okay, following on the chart, he had one child, Yehoada. Vihoada Hoilides Olemes. And the yes, Asmoves. What a name. Asmoves. Mighty as death, right? Mighty death. The Zimri. The Zimri Hoilides Mozart. So he had three sons. Almos, Asmaves, and Zimri. And Zimri gave birth to the person by the name of Motza. Umotza Hiladess Bina.
Zimri
from the Torah, right? He was not a good person. Okay, you're right. So yeah. Why did he name it? I don't, good question. Why would you name after Zimri? Umotza Hiladess Bina. Umotza gave birth to Bina. And Rifa Vino. Rifa was the son of Vino. And El Osa Vino. El Osa was the son of Rifa. And Otzel Bino, Otzel was the son. Now, by the way, Otzel here is spelled with an Aleph, and later in Perek Tes, he's spelled with an Ayin. And Rashi, on the next page, will tell us, what? And Rashi will tell us on the next page, Rashi says here, we want to jump to that Rashi right now, the significance of that change, it's something which is very revealing in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Let me find it. If you go back right before the next perek, just go up like one line in the right. I have a different edition of the Navi, so I don't see what you're seeing. But go to Rashi in the Pasuk Aleph of Perek Tes, and then just jump up two lines or one line, and it says there, the Od Amru Chachamim B'Sifrei Ula Otzel L'Shisha Banim. We're coming now to his six sons. Teleser alfe gamle tuune midrashos. There are 12,000 camels filled with books, midrashim, telling us, you have to go the whole sifrei, darshning, drashos, why here Otzel is spelled with an aleph, and later in Perek Tes he's spelled with an ayin.
I'll bet the sifrei doesn't tell us that. It's just one liner.
12,000 camels. Each of the camels is stacked to the sky with books, midrashim. Now, it could be it's a guzma. I must say a little of a guzma, but it means to say there are. You can spend a whole year darshaning the significance between the aleph and the ayin, and that's just for this little teeny bit. You can alachas kamakam how many drashas you can make on every single name mentioned here in Divrei Hayam. So it's some flavor to open up that Divrei Hayam. We just read the names. When we read the names, we're going through ilamos, worlds of Jewish that are totally lost from us. Okay, back to the pasuk. So we have here Otzel with an aleph. Bnei Otzal, Pasuk Lamed Tes. Now, Uvnei Eshek Achiv. I'm sorry. Let's go back. Back to Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Umoitzahel Des Bina. Uvrifah Bino. El Osav Bino. Otzel Bino. Pasuk Lamed Ches. Ule Otzel Shishavanim. I noticed a mistake on my handout. I only put down five sons. There are six sons. Okay, I can't count. I left out the one, the Bochru. Bochru doesn't mean Bochar, it means bone of a person. There are six sons. So you have to just add in the sixth son. Ule Otzel Shishavanim. There are six sons. The Elish Mosam. Azrikam, that's number one. Number two is Bochru. Okay, he's missing on my handout. He should be in there. Next comes the Yishmael. Next comes Ushe Arya. Next comes Ovadia. And finally, number six comes Vichanan Kol Ela Bnei Otzal. Okay, one more. Uvnei Eshek. Now, Otzel had a brother. That's how most of the commentators learn, even though it does not say that Elisha had this person called Eshek, but it's assumed that he was the brother of Otzel, Achiv. Who are his children? Three children. Ulam Bichoro, his firstborn, Yeush Hasheni, and Ve'elifelet Hashlishi. What do we know about Ulam, the first one? Vayub v'nei Ulam Anoshim Giborichal, they were warriors. Derchei Keshes, they were archers. Umarbim Bonim, Ubnei Bonim, they had a lot of children. They were very makbet to get married young and have a lot of children. The Gemara himself needed to literally elaborate upon this, what exactly this means. But basically, they had a lot of sons, Banim of Nevanim, Nea, Vachamishim, 150 children, Kol Eila, Mibnei, Vinyamin, everything listed in this perek, the entire perek, Ches, from the beginning to all descendants of Bnei Binyamin. Now, there are a few interesting midrashim. First of all, let's go back to,
where is it spelled with an
ayin? Okay, I'm not.
And it's spelled with an aleph.
Also with an aleph, so it could be. It could be.
Pasuk Mem Gimel.
Yeah.
Pasuk Mem Dalet. It's all with the
Gaulas. Okay, so I'm making a mistake. It's somewhere else. It could be it's in Ezra, it's Sefer Ezra, because these lists appear in different places. I have to look it up. I have to look it up. Maybe look in the art scroll, look in the Radak, look there in the... So one of the commentators on the page must say the Sifra in elaborate. Blin Eder, I'll
be, because an Aleph and an Ayin are not mischalfos at all in any way, shape, or form, because they sound very different in reality.
No, but
they're definitely...
Okay, I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out. But there is a drush of why the name Otzel is spelled here one way, it's spelled differently somewhere else, and that there's a Sifrei, there are 12,000 camels full of Midrashim. Now let's just go to a few Midrashim. Now Pasuk Lamed Gimel we mentioned is a person called Ner. Ner Hoyled Es Kish. Now why is he called Ner? So the Midrash, this is Vayikra Rabba. So we have a problem. The problem is that we have a contradiction in Shmuel. In Shmuel, Kish's father is not Ner. His father was Aviel. So what is his name? Was Kish the son of Ner, or was Kish the son of Aviel? The answer is, the Medrash says, the real name of Kish's father was Aviel. Why was he called Ner? Because he lit candles in the Beis Medrash. He made sure that there was always light. He illuminated. He was the first one to come to the shul to light up the Beis Medrash on the lights. Ella al yidei shayim madlik neros l'rabin zocha v'nikro shmo ner. He was called Ner. He enlightened the world. Okay, that's very.
That's why it's in Vayikra.
Because menorah. Okay, Vayikra parasha test base. Obed. Now we go to Yehoyna's son. Yehoyna's son had a son. His name was Meriv Baal, which we know as Mifi Boisha. So the Medrash says, V'chi Meriv Baal Shmo, V'la Mifi Boisha Shmo. Go look in Sefer Shmuel, you'll discover that Yehoyna's son, his name is Mifi Boisha. There's a long story about him. So what's going on? So the Ela Mitoch She'asa Meriva in Ba'ala, because he complained against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He complained against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he was contentious. Being that he was contentious, that's why he's called Meriv, means to quarrel with Baal, with his master, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And because he had a contentious nature, that's why we call him, and he gives examples. Not only was he, Ela Mitoch She'asa Meriva im Baal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yotza Basel Yomelo Natza Bar Natza, he was called a Natza. Natza means a Baal Machloikis, the son of a Baal Machloikis. Now, what? Anoshim Nitzim, two men are fighting. Moshe saw two men fighting. Lamasake Esriyacha. Why do you go rush? Lamasake Esriyacha. Nitzim to fight. He was called an Atzah, and his father was called an Atzah. Now, when it says here his father, it does not mean his father, it means his grandfather. Because his father was Yehoyna's son, and his Yehoyna's father was Shaul. Shaul was contentious. Why? He did not listen to Hashem. Hashem told him to wipe out the Amalekim, and Shaul did not. He left over Agag, and he left over the sheep. And he was not supposed to do that. So we call the Shoal, it's a frightening measure, we call Shoal a Natsa, a person that quarreled with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. He disagreed. If you ever did have a disagreement, you were called a Natsa. And Mithi Boris also had a quarrel with David. Okay, there was a quarrel with David, and then he was called a contentious person. Natsa, Bar Natsa, Natsa, Hadamar, and it says, he complained against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Bar Natsa, the Sivayevo Shol Alira, Amolik, Vayar, Vanochal, Vayarav, he quarreled by Nochal. Amr Abimani, Aliske Nachal, what does that mean? Because he did not kill the Amalekim. He made a Kal V'chomer from the Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa has to be decapitated in the Nachal. And the Kal V'chomer was, Kaddish Baruch Hu had, if Hashem required a carbon to be brought for the loss of for the death of a person in the middle of two cities, so certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have Rachmanis. Let me read the words. Hisraim al Hatzivu Lahariges Amolek Mikrech Mitzas Egla Rufa Shem al Odom Echad Mevim Egla Rufa Kal V'choymer She'osu Lahariges Eskol HaNefoshos Halolu. It's not proper to kill people for no reason. So we quarreled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, those are the two Midrashim. Now let's go to the Rashis. Let's do the Rashis very quickly. Now I want to warn you, I do not know how to translate all of these words, and we'll run to the Rashi just to get the basic gist. The basic general theme of what Rashi is, it's a very pasuk of test, a very important Rashi, and Rashi is explaining, he's coming to tell us the yisoid for divrei hayamim, Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, let's see. Parsha zo ad kol eila b'nei otzel kesuva beis pamim b'sefer zeh. What's going on? We learned Parakhas. We went to the yichos of Avi Givoyim, what we started with today, from Pasuk Chav Tes to the very end. And guess what? When we do Perek Tes, we're going to have Kemat, the same thing repeated, with a few slight differences, minor differences. So what is Ezra doing? Ezra is a very wise man, a Sefer Bo here. Why, when he compiled Divrei Hayam, the first nine Parakim, did he repeat himself? And furthermore, he repeated things in Divrei Hayam that appear in, that appear especially in Perek Tes, that appear in Sefer Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah, part of it was written by Ezra. Why is the repetition? So Rashi says here, very powerful, you say. The first he says, Ksub Beis Pamim, B'Sefer Zeh, Gam Parashas Hayoshim. There's another section. I don't know all the details. V'Hayoshim HaRishonim Asher Ba'achuzosam B'Reim. That is in also a section, L'Kamon, it's in Perek Tes. U'Parashas Min HaKoyhanim K'mo Kein B'Sefer Ezra. There's a section later on from the Koyhanim which appears in Sefer Nehemiah and Perek Yud Aleph. So what's going on? Why the repetition? So the answer lies in a Yerushalmi. We mentioned this before. What's the Yerushalmi? Besoif Megillas Yerushalmi, Masechta Megillah in the Yerushalmi. Gimel Sefarim Motza Ezra. Ezra, when he came to put together these three books, participated in these three books, Ezra, Nehemiah, Divrei Hayamim, he had in his possession three ancient documents which had a record of the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. And the problem is there were contradictions, there were discrepancies, and he did not know which one was correct and which one was incorrect. So he followed the majority. If there were two books that said it should be spelled with an Aleph, it's going to be spelled in my book, in my Divrei Hayam, with an Aleph. If two books say it should be spelled, what?
Feedback.
I'm leaning on him. That's why I'm leaning on it. If two books, we're going to follow the majority, that was his yesod. The Eile Rashi Hamadina Vezeshim Vashda Yerushalmi Gimel Svar Motz Ezra Sefer. Now these are the names of the books: Sefer Moinim, Sefer Zatuti, Sefer Hoachim. Okay, those are the names of the books. Fancy names for these three books. Ubitlu divrei ha'echad v'kilu divrei hashnayim. If there was a discrepancy and two books said spell it with an aleph, that's how we're going to do it. We're going to go follow the majority. V'chein matzus. And now Rashi goes on to say, you know what? It's not really, the Yerushalmi is not 100%. The Yerushalmi says there were basically three, but upon occasion there were more. There were five. There were more. V'chein matzus. Or sometimes there were only two. Sometimes when it came to a certain thing that Ezra wanted to list, he only had in his possession two books, and there was a contradiction between the two books. Now we can't say bittel, because one against one, there's no bittel. So in those instances, Ezra had no choice but to write them both. And that's why what's presented in Perek Ches and in Perek Tes is because there was no majority. There were only two books recording the Yichus of Avi Givoin, and there were discrepancies. And one cannot be machriya over the other. He had no choice but to present them both. When he repeated certain sections of Divrei Hayamim in Sefer Ezra, it's because in that instance of the Kohanim, there were two books. There was no hachra. He had no choice but to list them both. When he found three, then the rule is bitlu hamuot v'kimu hamarubim. He was mevatel the meeting and followed the majority. Uchshenimtzu zugos. But when it was equal, kamo, uvigivoin, what?
Four.
Four or two. Givoin, and he gives examples. Givoin, Yashua, vi givoin. Okay, our case, exactly our what we learned today. Pasuk Yates. Hutzruch lichtoiv shtei pa'amin. He had no choice but to repeat himself. And in one place he has like this, one place like that. She'ein seide yuchusim shove, it's not the same. V'chein hayoshim harishon motzah zugos v'chalukim zelzeh. Kosvuhu shnei pamim. Bekan uv'sifo. Here he wrote one section here and he wrote another section. Sefer Ezra. V'lom oloi kosav shtem kan. Now, I don't know how to translate the words exactly, what he says now. Why did he just put them back to back? Why did he go and put one in Perek Ches and then have a little bit of a break? He had some So he filled in with some other topic, and then he came back. So if you now have a subject, just put it back to back. I don't know what he means here. The sif of v'lamu le'kosav shteim kan oisam shav ezra ve'eila rosh ha'medina v'goyim elufi shayachas l'sham ad ve'eila ha'koyhanim ha'levim u'miyaches ad yedaya shoye l'achar ezra u'ma'in l'farish l'yaches pekan b'divir hayamim deirus yachat. So he basically says, because from there was a longer list, or the list was more... Well, the list was shorter, whatever it means. There were two different lists. One of them was a little bit longer than the other. So one list fit better into the context, into the agenda of Sefer Ezra. And this list fit better into my agenda in Sefer Divrei Hayam. Well, I would have. I had no problem putting the two lists back to back in one book. But being that there are other differences which fit better into the topic, so that's why we broke it up. We put it here, we put it there. After Ezra, that basically the gist of what he means. I don't know how to translate the words here. Literally, I tried very hard to figure it out, but that's the basic idea. And then he goes on to say, Yodamu, he brings in another medrash where he talks about this idea that every single difference, don't think that it's an insignificant difference. He concludes by saying, just because I presented both, there's a very significant difference, and there are camelodes of drashos, midrashim, that explore the deeper meaning in these differences. When I read this, it just struck me that, you know, today they have the Aleppo Codex, not the Aleppo Codex, I know him, Dr. Penkower. He's a famous Dr. Penkower. He's a professor, Jordan Penkower. He's a professor in Eretz Yisrael. He's the brother of, there was a person who lived here for many years, Manti?
Yeah.
Manti Penkower. I knew him. He used to daven my father, shul. He now lives in Eretz Yisrael. He used to be a professor in Torah College. He's now retired. He writes books. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. And his brother is Dr. Jordan Penkower. And he... I don't know, I forgot the exact details of his work, but he took the most authentic records of Tanakh. And it's interesting, but he followed exactly what Ezra did. He had like, I think, five versions,
editions
of that are accepted today in the world as being the most authentic versions of Tanakh. And there are different spellings. I mean, not spelling, but there's certainly, well, there is Suadaka with an aleph and a hey, and then there are certain pronunciations. Is it a tsere? Is it a segel? Zecher? And he basically applied this formula. I mean, he took it. It struck me of Ezra, and he said, "Al pi halacha, you are obligated to go basarayif." So what Ezra did, Ezra said, if I have three books in front of me, I'm presenting here Divrei Hayamim, I want to write a Divrei Hayamim, I have three books, so Yerushalmi, what am I going to do? There are discrepancies between book A, B, and C. I'm going to follow the majority. He did something very similar. He took the five books, the five manuscripts that are the most accurate, and did the discrepancies, he followed the majority. And they put out an edition of Tanakh, I don't know the details, which basically follows a very, very, a lot of work went into it. Follows the majority that should be accepted, at least until Eliyahu HaNavi comes and tells otherwise, should be accepted as the Tanakh and the pronunciation that we follow.
She's got to tell us where he comes from.
What?
Eliyahu.
Okay. But it's a very... The method that he's using of following the majority has precedent right here in this Rashi. In this Rashi, not only in the Rashi, in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, and our Rashi over here beautifully brings out the point of why there are things that are repeated twice and why there are things that are only mentioned once. Because if you have three books, and one book is spelled with an aleph, and the other two is spelled with an ayin, or vice versa, you follow the majority. So today it should not be any different in when we have it to put together a Tanakh, or a Sefer Torah, or whatever it is, and there are questions of pronunciation, and we have records, and the majority tells us this is how it should be pronounced, with a tseri, or a segel, or things like that, there is something to it. Look, you see it over here.
That, of course, assumes equal weight for all of them.
Right, so you have to assume that the manuscripts that he's dealing with, the records, are equal, 100%.
Yeah.
Correct. Anyway, Nechanami, I don't know the nature. I don't know the details.
It can't be that simple.
I don't know the details, but I just want to bring out this. You see something very interesting here in this Rashi and in the entire structure of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Divrei Hayam. Okay, so that concludes Perek Ches. Yirtz Hashem, we're on to Perek Tes.